So Shane, the temperature is getting colder, yet why do I feel like Isle's Twitter is just getting warmed up?
I'm so sick of it already. I was ready to quit last night. I was ready to delete at SBlackburn26.
Tavares, right circle, walks in, shoots Luongo the save, rebound, Tavares, rubs it in, and scores! John Tavares has won it in overtime!
Shane Blackburn and Andy Graziano bring you New York Islanders news, notes, and analysis like only they can. This is the Secondary Assist Podcast.
And we are back here on the Secondary Assist Podcast, Shane Blackburn alongside Andy Graziano. Follow us on Twitter, if we're still there, at SBlackburn26 and at AndyGraz_SNY. I really almost gave up last night, Andy. If I'm miserable watching a game, I don't want to wallow in everyone else's misery also.
You know, I understand the some of the feelings that are out there. It's been an uneven start, let's call it that. 2-3-1, 50, you know, only 5 out of 12 possible points thus far garnered. A road trip where, you know, I'm going to say that I'm disappointed. I think that's the right word. I think that when you look at the road trip that they just came back from, it's a road trip where they could have gotten points in all three games, only ended up getting points in one. But again, 6 games in, I always like to treat the season in like quarters. So 20 games per quarter. That's really when I like to sit back and judge and make a true, I like to truly analyze what's going on. I don't think 6 games is a large enough sample size. And, you know, if you look around the league, some other big teams are struggling too. I know fans don't want to hear that. I know it's kind of more the same, but so I see where they're coming from, but agree that it does get a little much sometimes.
Well, I do want to start today with the power play, but first I just wanted, on your point of other teams not doing well, I got in a, we'll call it a Twitter debate with Isles Diehards at Isles_Diehards last night, who mm-hmm. said, look at how the Dallas Stars handled this offseason. That's how the Islanders should have done it. Okay. So, of course, the first thing I did, being a Twitter white knight, was go and look at the Dallas Stars record, mm-hmm. which, for those of you who don't know, is 2-3. So I replied and I said, you might want to check their record before making accusations like that. And then we had a little bit of a back and forth, and it was all like in good fun and just poking back and forth at each other. But I was like, really, like all the teams people expected to be good are not. And I mean, if you look at the top teams in the league, it's Vegas, the Devils, and Colorado. Like, no one expected this.
Right. And it's hard to say whether those teams are going to be able to sustain that level of success through the rest of the season. I know a lot of people are saying no. We've seen stranger things happen. The Devils have looked really good. And of course, if Corey Schneider's on his game, they're always going to be in games. You know, Columbus is right up there. The usual suspects in the West, Chicago, St. Louis, Los Angeles. But yeah, I mean, you look at teams like Vegas and the 4-2 Calgary Flames, and again, like you just mentioned, the 4-2 Colorado Avalanche. And then you look at teams like, you know, San Jose at 1-3, Edmonton at 1-3, who have a perennial MVP candidate there. Anaheim 2-3-1. The Rangers 1-5, for crying out loud. Carolina's only played 3 games. I don't know how the heck that's even possible at this point, but whatever. You know, Washington 3-2-1, the defending champs 3-2-1. So, you know, Buffalo 1-4-1, Montreal 1-3-1, Boston 2-3. So yeah, I mean, there's other teams struggling. I know it's, again, I think people are more concerned with the, what I was kind of getting a lot was, well, this is more the same. This team looks like the same team from last year. And I kind of can't debate that too hard, because through the first 6 games, albeit a small sample size, I mean, they don't look much different, to be honest with you, right now.
Did we really expect them to be any different, though? When you look at it, they're the same team. There's 2 new faces, 2.5 new faces, because Hosang played a bunch of games last season. Eberle and Barzal are really the only 2 new faces on offense. Did we really expect much different? I think we just expected growth.
Well, I think a lot of people are pointing to the fact that, you know, Doug Wade has gone to the line blender a couple of times already. And I think people just didn't want to see a repeat of Jack Capuano, I think. And that's, I think, what they're keying on right now. And to some degree, they have a little bit of a point. You know, the opening night blowout in Columbus wasn't good, especially the first game of the year to come out like that. And we know the Islanders suffered a couple of blowout losses under Wade last year. And then this line blender stuff got people a little on edge. And, you know, honestly, it bothers me too. I'm not a fan of the line blender when Jack did it. I'm not a fan when Doug Weight does it. I feel that chemistry is very vital and it needs to build, especially when you have a new guy like Eberle coming in. He needs to play with John Tavares, period.
Which is why I hate the we're going to use preseason to play all the youth and
right.
see what we have. I would rather have seen Tavares, Lee, and Eberle play every preseason
right.
game together and build the chemistry in the preseason rather than trying to build it six games into the regular season.
Agree with that 100%. And so, you know, that kind of stuff does bother us too. And look, I'm always up for a healthy debate on social media. You know, back when, going back to when the Islanders were winning cups and stuff like that. And, you know, social media wasn't around back then. Everything was in print. So there was really nobody to yell at, nobody to vent at. You did it with your friends in school and kind of had that back and forth going on. But, you know, social media has opened up this whole new avenue, and I'm always up for a good social media debate. I'm not always right. I'll be the first to admit it, and I'll admit when I'm wrong. But you know what? Keep it respectful, and everything's fine. I think when it starts getting to the disrespectful point, that's the only time I have a problem with it.
Well, this is actually instead. All right, so we wanted to start with the power play, but I guess we'll take a little diversion first. But one of the Twitter questions after we put out, we were going to take Twitter questions from at R. Beula and from at 19 Nobody Better had similar questions about changing up some lines around and mm-hmm. possibly putting Bailey back with Tavares and Lee. I don't want to necessarily do that just yet. There's a couple of reasons. One is, obviously, as you said at the start of this segment, was Eberle and Tavares need time to build the chemistry. I don't want to give up on it right away. I don't think there's a reason to give up on it six games into the season, especially when they have had flashes of good communication, good chemistry, good puck movement. I think there's a good opportunity there for the two of them if they are given the time to develop. If Doug Weight stays out of the Cappy line blender and just lets them play.
A lot of ifs.
But the second reason is I like Bailey, Barzal, and Ladd. Especially last night, they had the most sustained pressure in the offensive zone of any of the four Islander lines.
Yep.
I think the three of them complement each other well. Barzal's speed, I think, complements Bailey's, as much as Islander fans get on his case, it complements Bailey's intelligence. I think his hockey IQ is high, despite the fact that he never shoots the damn puck, but that's a different story. And Ladd has that gritty veteran presence that complements both of them. I don't want to split that line up to bring Bailey back to Tavares' line either.
And again, I think you make some good points, but I'll counter with the fact that I don't think Josh Bailey is playing good hockey right now. He seems a little lost to me without John Tavares. It's almost like he lost his best friend. That's, to me, he just seems disengaged, I'll call it, on a lot of his shifts early on. Matt Barzal, I thought, has looked very, very good. I thought he's looked very dangerous. Congratulations to him, by the way, on notching his first NHL point last night, an assist on the Josh Bailey goal. Kind of a lucky assist. He kind of swung at the puck and got a clip of it, and then Bailey poked it in behind Darcy Kemper, and that was his first NHL point, but so be it, a point's a point.
Also, Ladd with his 500th point on the same play.
Yes, Ladd with his 500th point on the same play. I have a problem with that line only because of speed. I don't feel that Ladd and Bailey can keep up with Barzal in speed wise.
So my issue there, and before you keep going, I just want to interject, is unless you're putting Hosang with Barzal, there's nobody on the team keeping up with
True.
Barzal.
That's a fair point as well. You know, I think there is something to be said for possibly moving Bailey back to that line and putting together a line that had success last year. But at the same time, as we've seen, Jordan Eberle's been the most dangerous in terms of his zone entries.
Yes.
He's consistently carrying the puck into the offensive zone, whether it be 5-on-5 or on the power play, consistently getting the zone, doing that little curl play on the boards, looking to set teammates up, coming late on the rush. I think it's too early to split them up. I think that's definitely an option in my head if I'm Doug Weight. It's not something I would necessarily go to just yet. I'd probably wait until I think you got to give them at least 10, 12, maybe even 15 games.
And I mean, we see he's not afraid to split them up. He's done it mid-game.
And I don't like that. I don't like it at all. I don't.
But
it generally gives you a quick spark, and then it
falls back apart.
It's gonna fall back to normal levels
but
after that.
Do you know what I've noticed Weight doing is he's done two things with the offensive lines in game. He's shaken them up and then gone back to what was to what right. he had right. after that initial spark, which counteracts your negative to it.
Right.
But the other thing he does is, especially if he either has a center who might not be playing well, i.e. Brock Nelson, or if it's Barzal's line coming up, getting ready to go out, you'll see Tavares get an extra shift. He's been trying to filter in Tavares to get Tavares going, and that's something I don't think Cappy did much. Cappy did a lot of getting Tavares' line back out there, but Wade is doing a lot of getting Tavares extra shifts, which is huge when you're trying to get your superstar going, who for the life of him can't buy an offensive opportunity. I've watched this replay from last night.
Opportunities he could buy. He's just not getting any change in return for the purchase.
You
aren't John Tavares sitting here on a potential $10 to $12 million a year contract and miss the net like that. Look, and I'm not gonna say that
there's a 0% chance that hit either stick, by the way. I think he went clear across the front of the net.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's never happened to a great player before, because it does. It's happened to Sidney Crosby. It's going to happen, if it hasn't happened already, to Connor McDavid. It's going to happen to great players. They're going to have times like that. But at the same time, that was as clear of a net. Any other Islander, and I'm kind of like, all right, well, that sucked. They kind of missed an empty net. But Tavares, I mean,
I started celebrating. I was already out of my seat celebrating.
And I'm telling you something right now, even before that, I don't think he's been great this year. I don't think he's been great. If you're going to command $10 to $12 million AAV on a 7-8 year extension, you need to be consistent. And I've said this before, so people don't freak out and think that it's the first time I'm saying this, or I'm selling the captain down the river, et cetera, et cetera. Don't give me that garbage, because I've said this before. You know, as a captain, you have to lead every single night. Even when you're not on your best, you have to do things to compensate. You have to, in some way, lead every night. You know, hate Sidney Crosby all you want. He leads every night. Jonathan Toews might not put up the best offensive numbers in the league, but he leads every night. And that's I think, what the Islanders, if you're going to pay a guy $10 to $12 million, that's what you need to see. And
do you think he has the contract yips?
I'm not sure if it's it's got to be on his mind. I don't give a, you could tell me till I'm blue in the face, and I'm not going to even ask him anymore because it's not even worth it. But this is going to give me the same stock answer like he did last night post game after the loss. He gave the same regurgitated answer. Well, we have to be better. We got to wake up tomorrow and just try to fix what we need to fix. And it's, you know, so it's not even worth asking him about the contract, but I would think it has to be on his mind. No, it's got to be affecting him in some way. All this crap about it not being a distraction, it's automatically a distraction.
And it's even more of a distraction when you have to sit there every day and say it's not a distraction.
Right. You have that, and he hasn't even been to Toronto yet, or Montreal. Wait till he goes to those places.
Well, he's getting traded to Montreal tomorrow, right? Because Bergevin's been at all of our games.
That's why Mark Bergevin's been at every single Islander game this year. First of all, Bergevin is on this trip specifically because his team is playing – is on the West Coast playing the same three teams this week. So that's why he's there, first of all. He was in Brooklyn last week per Arthur Staple. I don't see any match there between the Islanders and Montreal, to be honest with you. I know Montreal's looking for a defenseman. They just cut Mark Streit, actually just terminated his contract today, allowing Streit to pretty much go wherever he wants. He will not report to the AHL.
To the Islanders?
No, I think he's going to go to the Swiss League. I think he'll probably go back home. He's 39 years old. I think he'll probably go back home and play a season and then hang it up and retire there, which he deserves. He's been a good pro his career. He was a good Islander.
He was a very good Islander.
Let's not take that away from him. He was a good captain. I think that Montreal's definitely looking for defensemen. The Islanders are definitely long defensemen. So, of course, Bergevin's going to go scout a team that's long defensemen with an asset that he needs. I mean, any GM scout all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean anything's cooking. I personally don't see a match. I mean, okay, so the Islanders, if they go out and let's just say, and again, this is not, I'm not saying anything's happening. I'm just kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. But let's say the Islanders were to try to work on something for Alex Galchenyuk. Where are you putting Galchenyuk? We know Galchenyuk wants to play center. The reason he's disgruntled in Montreal is because they won't let him play center.
You move Nelson.
They want to play wing. Right. So
at that point, Nelson's going to be a part of that deal.
It would have to be, right? Because you're already, you know, supposedly strong down the middle with Tavares, Nelson, Barzal, and Cizikas. So
who has been the best Islander so far.
Where are you going to put Galchenyuk if you were to get him? So that's why I don't think anything's happening there. I don't think there's a match there necessarily. And again, the Canadians are on the West Coast this week, playing those same three California teams. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But yeah, the play of John Tavares concerns me. The turnovers by Josh Hosang, he's now played 5 of the 6 games, and I think he's played one, for me anyway, he's played one really good game at both ends of the ice, and that was Saturday night's 3-1 win in San Jose.
His problem is he has fantastic shifts, and he makes things happen, but he also has awful turnovers. There is no in-between for Hosang.
And the
he's
turnovers
either dynamic
are now,
or awful.
And on the show last week, I said, and I believe I said this on the show, and I also wrote it in print at SNY.TV, that if Hosang continues to make turnovers and they start to lead to goals against, it's going to put Doug Weight in a tough spot. And that pass last night on the power play was that led to the Doughty shorthanded goal, which ended up being the game winner, was atrocious.
That might
absolutely
wind up
atrocious.
That might wind up getting Beauvillier back in the lineup in favor of Hosang instead of in favor of
Chimera. I don't know who. I think Kopitar was the one that picked it off, maybe. I know it was Kopitar and Doughty on the 2-on-1, but I'm not sure who picked off. I think it might have been
Kopitar
off the pass. Kopitar didn't even have to move to that spot. He was standing there, pretty much.
He looked dumbfounded.
Right.
He was like, did this really just happen?
And so I think that's been a little disappointing to me. He really has to get things going. The Islanders this year were counting on youngsters more than ever. Scott Mayfield, I think I was wrong, has been terrific so far.
Well, I was gonna yell at you for that later in the show, but yes,
I was wrong
100%.
On that. He's been terrific. He's been physical. He's been active.
He's been the best defenseman.
Doing a real nice job. Calvin DeHaan is starting to show a little bit of signs of breaking out of his slump. He started the year terribly, but he's starting to show. He played a better game Saturday night. And I'll admit, last night I just watched the goals. I didn't see the whole game, so I have to say that up front. I had to go to my job that pays the mortgage today, so I wasn't going to stay up for that one.
I missed the first period because I was playing, but then I watched the second and third.
Yeah, so you're better to speak to the flow of the game and every shift more than I would, because again, I just watched the goals and kind of saw the breakdowns on those.
So the key last night was the second period, down a goal, the Islanders were absolutely swarming. They were all over LA in their own zone. It was the Tavares line first that absolutely dominated, couldn't buy a goal. The Barzal line came on, and they made LA look silly until Bailey finally scored.
Okay.
1-1, half a shift later, too many men on the ice, LA comes down, scores, the game was over right then and there.
Too many men on the ice again?
Yeah, again.
Oh, so that's Jack Capuano's fault.
No, okay, so last year when we were talking about too many men on the ice and it being Capuano's fault, I said that's on the players not paying attention.
I've said that a billion times, and I've gotten it. I can't tell you how many Twitter quote-unquote discussions I've gotten into over that.
And nothing infuriates me more as a coach than too many men on the ice.
A player mental breakdown is what that is.
If I walk behind you and I tap you on the head and say your line is next, that means you three know you're going next.
That's it.
If you're the left wing, when the left wing comes off, go the hell on the ice. It doesn't mean everybody jump at the same time.
He's got nothing to do with actually executing that change.
No.
Nothing.
It has everything to do with paying attention and knowing who you're taking off the ice.
Exactly.
Now that I'm already aggravated, let's get into the real important thing. Let's get into the power play. Because Jesus Christ, it is atrocious. And me and Rob Taub, I think that's how you say his last name, right? That's how you say Taub's last name?
Yes. Yeah,
so me and Rob Taub last night went back and forth on Twitter.
Yep.
Where I agree, it's up to 75% on the coaching, because the coaching has to adjust and make the proper adjustments within the system. But Jesus Christ, it is 25% on the players to go out there and not pass the goddamn puck right into the penalty killer's stick. Pick your head up, stop the stupid, and this is not just Hosang, because Tavares makes the same stupid passes along the boards that he's been doing for the last 5 years on the Islanders' power play. Stop trying to force passes all the way across the ice. Stop trying to force the pretty backdoor tip in and get the goddamn puck to the net.
All right, calm down. Calm down, big fella. Take it easy. Take your medicine. Calm down.
Just had some water.
Pop a Zanny or something. Just relax. The thing with the Islander power play is I'm seeing more movement, which is good. I'm seeing more pucks at the net over the last, let's say, three games, perhaps, which is good. But yeah, you're right. I'm in key situations, they're still not obviously producing. And that's at the end of the day with the league this year and the cutdown on and the crackdown, let me call it, on slashing penalties. It's going to be a special teams league. We know that. And not only is the power good. Play failing big time and probably one of the biggest reasons for their five out of 12 point start. You can't be, if your power play is failing, I tweeted this morning, you cannot be allowing shorthanded goals to just compound the problem.
No.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, geez, your power play is now 0 for 20. I believe it's 0 for 20 up to on the year now,
yes,
and a minus and a minus 3 in 6 games.
You shouldn't give up 3 shorthanded goals all season, never mind on the first
right.
20 power plays you get.
It's not cool, man. Just not cool. And they need to get that crap figured out soon, soon.
Now, I don't know if you saw the picture that I tweeted out of my 3 notepads worth of...
I did.
All right. So one of the biggest things I have written in big letters under the power play is the biggest issue is the zone entry. They can't
big
get
letters?
In the damn
like,
zone.
What, like 16 point? 18 point? Are you talking like 20 plus point?
I'm talking like 32 point.
Wow.
I wrote this big.
That's pretty big.
But that's the biggest issue. If you can't enter the zone with possession of the puck, or
right.
at least gain possession of the puck upon
right.
entering the zone, you're not going to have the opportunity to score. That's 2 point. Everybody calling for Ryan Pulock to get into the power play.
He's not going to do what they need to do.
No.
And, two things I can't stand on the power play is, one, that goddamn stupid go backwards to go forwards crap.
It's so annoying.
I can't stand that.
Especially when you're going backwards to Hosang, who, while he's dynamic, is giving up the puck every other
time.
And
the second thing I hate is a freaking dump-in on a power play.
Boy, Chuck.
Why the hell are you playing dump-and-chase on a power play when you're... And not only that, you're playing dump-and-chase on a power play, and you're really not... You're not retrieving the puck back.
Almost never.
So what the hell are you doing? You're just giving away possession.
The only time the Islanders seem to have the opportunity to score off the power play is... the once every 10 times they win a goddamn faceoff.
Yeah, and the faceoffs have been atrocious as well this year, which is why we kept citing the need for a Matt Duchene
yes.
over the summer because
so,
of faceoffs.
Right underneath
terrible.
My power play writing is my faceoff writing because
terrible.
They go hand in hand. Because
terrible.
If you're not winning faceoffs, if you're not winning faceoffs, the game is automatically tilted down the ice for you. You're automatically chasing at the start
yep.
of every shift. The faceoff
yep.
to me is the most important part of every shift in and out. Because
yep.
if you hold on. Offensive zone faceoffs, right? You lose the puck, you lose the faceoff, it gives the other team the opportunity to set their breakout and get the puck up the ice while you're still trying to chase. Neutral zone faceoffs, you lose that, the other team's heading right into your zone right away. Defensive zone faceoffs, you lose that. And the other team has a scoring chance right off the faceoff 9 out of 10 times. Then you compound on that, and you look at the power play. You lose faceoffs on the power play. Guess what that defenseman's doing who just won the faceoff? He's
clearing
shooting the puck down the ice,
yeah,
and now you got to
right.
restart on your zone entry, which, by the way, has been atrocious.
I'm smart.
And on the penalty kill, you lose the faceoff on the penalty kill, and guess what? They're setting up their power play, and 9 times out of 10, you're giving up a scoring opportunity.
Wow.
The faceoffs are the most important thing at the start of every shift. It's not just the first one of the game. It's not just after a goal. Faceoff set the tone for every shift of every game. And when you're, what are they? I think they're like 40%. Hold on, I have it written down. I got to find it in one of these 5 million things. They're 44%, which is 30th in the league out of a 31-team league. It's atrocious.
Bro, you're going to need a nice tall glass of vino when the show's over, bro.
I don't drink wine.
Well, you need a drink of something.
Yeah.
Need to chug some Southern Comfort or something.
I'd get some Baileys, but if it would make me feel the way he does watching him play, it wouldn't help. And
yeah,
I've been the biggest Bailey supporter for the past 5 years.
I still am, but he's not playing well. He's not playing well so far. And you know what? I don't think Yaro Halak's been that good either. I don't think you can't really blame him. Last night, the one goal was deflected off Adam, inadvertently off Pelech. The second goal was the second goal was the Muzzin. The second goal I got a little bit of an issue with, because even though he was being massively screened by, I believe it was Tanner Pearson, was massively screening him on the shot by Muzzin. If he comes out a little bit more to challenge, it's probably, as you know, I believe Staple was the one that noted that if he comes out a little bit to challenge, it's the goal likely gets waved off for interference. I was
screaming at my TV because. So the first thing I do after either the Islanders or another team
back.
Score,
he sat back and tried to look around the screen instead of engaging the contact.
How do you not just slide into him and automatically give yourself the goalie interference?
Right. And then the goal by Doughty was obviously a 2-on-1, so you can't. It's hard to blame Halak. So you really can't. I don't blame Halak for all but the one goal last night, but the goal he gave up in Anaheim cost him the game. I thought
he definitely hasn't.
Patrick Eaves.
He definitely hasn't been fantastic. Grice stood on his head in San Jose.
His last two starts since the Columbus game have been absolutely.
The Columbus game,
out.
I was very nervous that he wasn't going to be good.
Lights out.
But he has been. He might have won the.
He stole that game. He stole that game in San Jose.
Well, they outshot us by almost double.
Yeah, he stole. And shot attempts were like 75 to 44 or something like that.
So
he stole it.
You want to hear some ugly stats before
it's
we keep going?
It's going to be interesting to see who plays net Thursday at Madison Square Garden, because Halak, career-wise, has great numbers against the Rangers, especially in MSG. But Rice has been the better of the two so far, so Waite's got a decision to make there.
You want to hear some ugly stats before we keep going?
I really don't, but I'm pretty sure you're going to give them to me anyway.
Oh, I'm going to. Faceoffs, 44.7%, 30th.
Nice.
Power play. Can you guess what the percent for the power play is? I'll give you a hint. They're 0 for 20.
Is that rounded to two decimals?
It's 0.0.
Damn it.
And that's 31th place. That's
31st place?
It's 31st, but they're tied with Anaheim. Anaheim also has yet to score on their power play.
Give me more.
All right. Penalty kill, 80%. 18th. Not terrible.
Not terrible.
Okay. Shots per game, 32.2. That's 13th.
Okay.
Shots against, 33.2. So they're giving up one more shot than they're shooting per game. That's 19th.
Okay.
This is where it gets scary. Goals four is 2.5 per game.
Yeah.
That Buffalo game is the outlier there. Without that Buffalo game, they're under two goals per game.
Right. Yep.
And then goals against, they're at 2.83, which isn't horrible for the NHL. But when you're scoring less than two a game, that's a major.
Yeah, I think the league average is like 2.4, 2.5. So
yeah,
a little bit above the average there.
Now, if I told you that six games into the season, the team's three leading scorers would be Casey Cizikas, Brock Nelson, and Josh Hosang, would you have told me I was crazy?
Yes, I would. To use a line from Christmas Vacation, if I would have woken up with my head stapled to the carpet, I wouldn't have been more surprised.
Casey has 5 points. Nelson and Hosang both have 4. All of Hosang's points are assists. Cizikas is 3 goals, 2 assists. Nelson is 3-1.
Yep.
Tavares, Bailey, Ladd, Eberle, all with 3 points, each.
Yep.
Bailey, JT, and Lee all with
2 goals.
Well,
look, there's no better matchup to write yourself for both teams. Let's face it, going in, the 2-3-1 Islanders, the 1-5 Rangers,
battle for the
Pittsburgh.
Metro basement.
Who play Pittsburgh tomorrow night? So they're either going to be 2-5 or 1-6 or 1-5-1, whatever combination you can think of. But
1-6 would be nice.
They're going to be struggling. So there's no better matchup Thursday night at the Garden to break either team out of this, and that's a huge rival clash like that. Going to be really, really interested to see. You know, I really hope the Islanders come out with a lot of fire. And they usually play well at Madison Square Garden. They're definitely not intimidated by the building at all. Most definitely not intimidated by Henrik Lundqvist. So it's going to be a real interesting game for me, and I'm going to really look to see, does Anthony Beauvillier slide back in? Who starts in net, Grice or Halak? Does Ryan Pulock finally get a game? There's three big questions for me heading into Thursday.
Now, we're coming up on a half an hour, so just before we get out of here, there is one more thing I wanted to touch on, and it was part of... I think it was Ryan Maroney at Obi-Wan Maroney's question on Twitter, and it had to do with Anthony Beauvillier. I'm not even going to try and figure out why he wasn't in the lineup, because it still blows my mind to this day. You have to assume he's going to get back in against the Rangers. I thought that Beauvillier was the Islanders' best young forward, if not best forward, period, over the course of the first four games of the season. So it really shook my mind when he was taken out of the lineup in favor of Jason Chimera. I'm assuming he's going to get back in sooner than later. The question now is it going to be for Chimera, or after that ridiculous turnover last night, is it going to be for Hosang?
Well, I thought, as everyone else did, I think that when, you know, he was out there taking regular line rushes in warm-ups, so when he was announced as the scratch, I originally thought that, oh, okay, he must have tweaked something. He must have had, you know, had a little minor thing, and he might have tweaked it in warm-ups. Happens. But then after the game, Doug Way came out and said, yeah, well, I decided to go with speed and experience and size. And Chimera, people are not going to like it, but it is what it is. So that told me that, hey, maybe Pavilion is not so banged up, and it actually was a legitimate healthy scratch. And I don't have any reasoning for it. I don't have an answer for it. I don't know why, what precipitated it. You know, I texted a couple of sources that have given me some great information around the league the last couple of years, and the responses I got back were anywhere from wow to I have no idea what's going on to a no idea. Those were the three responses I got back to see if there was anything else going on with Beauvillier other than a mysterious healthy scratch. So
the first thing I did,
it confounded and confused a number of people, not just us.
The first thing I did was peruse Twitter to see if anyone else from another team was a healthy scratch. That would have been mm-hmm. a surprise, because I honestly mm-hmm. thought it was a trade.
Yeah, and it does kind of make you think along those lines, because you start thinking it just doesn't make any logical sense. I don't think that's the Islanders. I think an Islanders lineup without Beauvillier and with Chimera and Kuhlman is not their best lineup.
No,
and
definitely not.
I think this intangible stuff is great and all, but I think at the end of the day, you have to field your best lineup every night.
If everyone's
healthy enough to play, you got to field your best lineup on a nightly basis, and your best lineup is not one as currently constructed.
And I think winning in San Jose actually hurt Beauvillier, because I would rather him have been in last night against LA,
but
that's
a different
story.
They didn't dominate that win, and they came right back. And except for the second period, they pretty much didn't outplay the Kings. They outplayed the Kings for one out of three periods. And I think, going back to our point at the beginning of the show, that's, I think, what people are afraid of, is that a lot of these old issues,
they still can't play 60 minutes of hockey.
Exactly. A lot of those old issues seem to still be there. I'll say it again, as I did last week. Do I think the power play goes 0-for on the season? No. I think eventually they're going to score a power play goal.
One has to go in on accident, at least.
You would think. It's got to go in off a head or something. Maybe it goes in off Mark Stahl's butt or something, or, you know what I mean? Goes off Rick Nash's face mask, or something crazy is going to happen, and it's going to break them out of it. And hockey's a confidence-driven game, so if you're grabbing the sticks a little tight on the power play and you're not playing with confidence, it's going to show, and it's clearly showed thus far.
Now, before we get out of here, the last thing I have to do, and I know you mentioned it earlier, but I need to yell at you, was, my God, were you wrong about Scott Mayfield?
Why is everybody yelling at me? I was.
Because Scott Mayfield has been the Islanders' best defenseman, period. Not Nick Leddy, not Johnny Boychuk. Scott Mayfield.
I'm a gentleman, and I will step up and take my medicine and take my licks for that. I didn't think he was anything more than a seventh guy. And he's totally proven me wrong. It's got to be the haircut. It's got to be the haircut. Ever since he cut that hair, his play has been really, really solid. And you know what? Solid at both ends of the rink. Look, he's not going to be a guy that's going to put in, you know, 8-10 goals and put up 20, 25, 30 points. That's not Mayfield. But he's been very competent in the offensive zone as well.
He's been creating opportunities, that's
for
sure.
I think that he's been tremendous, and I think that's really that's one of the reasons, besides his defensive play, that's kept Ryan Pulock on the sidelines, is that, you know, who do you take out, right? I mean, you're not going to take out Leddy. You're not going to take out Boychuk, DeHaan, Hickey. You're not going to take those four out. People can hate on Thomas Hickey all they want. I don't care. You're not taking him out of the lineup.
First of all, he's a
very, very solid fourth guy.
He's got the highest plus-minus on the team right now, and him and Mayfield have been, when I see Mayfield and Hickey on the ice, it's when I'm the most comfortable in the defense.
He also, I believe, has the highest possession stats of the defense, highest Corsi 4. So you're not taking Hickey out of the lineup. So there's your four right there. So now it comes down to Pelech, Mayfield, Seidenberg, and Pulock. You know, Seidenberg's been practicing. We know his wrist has been bothering him. So now you're down to Mayfield, Pelech, and Pulock. And Pelech hasn't been great, but he hasn't been bad. Mayfield, as we just said, has been great. So where do you really put Ryan Pulock, right now, a one-dimensional defenseman? Where does he fit into that plan?
Now,
I don't know.
I'm assuming he's going to get in for Pelech at some point, but I think it's going to be when Pelech plays himself out of the lineup. If
possibly,
that comes. Now, possible. I honestly thought it would be Mayfield. I really thought Mayfield was going to be who Pulick came in for. So I agree with you. Like, I know I'm yelling at you for being wrong, but I think a lot of us thought the same way. But Mayfield has solidified his spot. There's almost no way you can take Scott Mayfield out of the lineup at any point right now.
Not right now.
Not for any reason. So barring injury, I don't think we see Pulick for at least a couple more games. I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. I know a lot of the Islander fans are not, especially with the way the power play is right now. But again, what Pulick brings to the power play is not what the team needs right now. They don't need the shot. They need to zone entry. They need to set up, and they need to figure out what's going on within the system. And then, and only then, will the shot help.
And that points to, I believe, Scott Gomez is the man running the power play this year. So, I mean, you have to point the finger at him, too, and say, you know, I get it. Your system is probably a little bit new for the players, and they're still kind of getting it. And again, as I said before, the power play has shown glimpses of improvement over the last couple of games. But I think it's also one of the main drivers, if not possibly the main driver, behind this 2-3-1 start.
All right. So I think that about wraps us up for this week. The one thing I did want to say before we got out of here, Andy, was if I had to pick the best forward and the best defenseman over the course of the first 2 weeks, it's got to be Cizikas at the forward position and Mayfield at the defensive position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can really argue with that. I think Casey Cizikas at both ends of the rink has been tremendous. He's definitely rewarding the Islanders with his increased ice time that he was given. And I think defensively, Letty's always been a slow starter, so I kind of expected that out of him. Again, I think Thomas Hickey's been really, really good. But Scott Mayfield's been – I think Thomas Hickey's been really good. Scott Mayfield's been the one that's surprised me the most in a positive way.
Okay, that's fair.
And honestly, I think Josh Hosang's been the one who's disappointed me in the biggest way from preseason expectations so far. And again, it's a very early sample size. Let's not panic and be sending the guy back down to Bridgeport just yet. But 6 games in, that's just how I feel.
Well, before we get out of here, anything you want to say before we head out?
I usually say a heck of a lot. Tonight, I'm going to go the other way and say nothing.
I like it. I like it. The strong silent type. Oh, I'm just going to say follow us on Twitter, again, at @AndyGraz_SNY, at SBlackburn26, at Secondary Pod is the podcast.
Oh, I will say this, as we've gotten – see, you can never keep me quiet for too long. I will say this, as we've gotten our audio issues now clearly out of the way, thank you for sticking with us through those, by the way. If you didn't notice them, that's good. But we'll be introducing guests to the program, hopefully starting next week. So be on the lookout for that. They'll be announced as they're booked probably a couple of days before each show. So be on the lookout for that. We're excited about it.
We are very excited about that. That was one of the most fun parts of doing Dump and Chase back in the day, was having those guests on to talk to. So we are looking forward to hopefully starting that next week. That'll be on Monday the 23rd. We'll have 2 games this week to talk about. That'll be the Rangers and the Sharks. Rangers at the Garden, Sharks at home. Islanders hope they can sweep the season series with the Sharks after winning 3-1 in San Jose on Saturday. So for Andy, I'm Shane. Again, follow us on Twitter. If you have the time, go give us a nice rating and a review on iTunes. Makes me feel good about myself when I see them, so I'd appreciate it. But until next week, go on Twitter and check out the Nikita Kucherov goal from tonight, because it's filthy. This is the Secondary Assist Podcast.